Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, welcome back. Thank you so much, Wanda. We're here with Arden Carson. She's the market chairperson for CBRE. She has this great title. She's a senior managing director for CBRE here in South Florida with her Milena Cordero. She's CBRE's global head of research. She's here. We're going to share thoughts on all kinds of great stuff. Milena is featured throughout the media and is one of CBRE's most visible professionals. She travels all over the world researching and speaking on retail trends. One of her recommenders said, Milena is hands down the brightest person I've worked with. I'll say it again. Wow, I can guarantee she's more than a 100-watt light bulb. Welcome to the show, Milena.
Thank you. More than a 100-watt light bulb. That's not bad.
You're pretty good. You went to Yale. I got it. I got it going here because Arden went to Harvard. So you guys got to leave me be because I just went to Florida. Arden, welcome back to the show. I know you got a whole bunch of questions for Milena, so let's get started.
Hi, Jim. Well, we're excited to be here again on CBRE's featured episode called The Edge. And we're so happy today to have Milena Cordero. She's one of my favorite people at CBRE. So, Milena, welcome to Miami. You're back. I understand you lived in Miami for a little while at one point in your professional career.
I did. Thank you. I lasted 1 year in Southeast. It's about as much as I could take. But I love Miami. I love South Florida. And it's great to be back, especially when it's nice and warm like this.
Well, great. Tell us a little bit about your background, your educational background. Jim alluded to Yale. I know you also have a graduate degree as well. So let us know. Where did you get your start?
Well, I had a bit of a circuitous path to where I am now, which people always laugh at. But I started off as a French major in my undergrad at Yale. And then once I thought I had French under my belt, I said, well, I want to go abroad and I want to study urban planning. So then I went over to Europe and I spent 2 years doing graduate work in urban planning and international development. And within that, I actually hopped on a plane and went down to Brazil for almost 2 months and I studied shopping malls in Brazil.
Oh, that's great. You know, I was wondering, I know Gazeta's down there. Have you taken a look at some of their malls? What was a favorite thing you learned on your trips out there?
So my favorite thing I learned, and I spent about 4 weeks every day going to a mall called Morumbi. And this mall was fascinating. I learned so much because the malls down there are not just shopping destinations. They are destinations. I mean, people go there. It's cultural symbols. It's for dating. It's for walking. It represents a safe space in a city that sometimes, you know, has its security issues. But it was amazing the role that the mall plays in that culture and that society, and really, really different than what it is here.
And are you bringing that to your work at CBRE, some of the knowledge that you learned there, maybe changing some of the trends that we have here in the U.S.?
Absolutely. I think research, you get this idea that it's about looking at data points and reading articles and doing everything from a distance. So there's a big part of research and understanding, I think, any industry that involves being on the ground. And still to this day, when I'm in a mall, I've got my research hat on and I'm walking around and I'm watching people and I'm listening to what they say and I'm looking at what they're doing and how they're shopping on their phones versus carrying bags. So that sort of research hat on, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, is always on, even as a consumer.
I could totally relate to that. I'm staying at a condo while they're repairing our house and all I do is watch the people and how they interact with all the common areas. Arden.
Okay. So, Milena, tell us about your current role at CBRE. You're the global head of retail research. How did you get there? And what led you to work in research?
So, it's a great question. And you never really know how you get to places, do you? But what I do is I go around the world essentially talking about what's happening in retail and educating the marketplace and educating myself and my colleagues on what's happening in retail today and what's happening in the future. And again, how I got here is sort of a fun little adventure, but after graduate work, I worked very briefly in market research, so understanding consumer goods and consumer spending. And then I worked about 3 or 4 years at a tech startup. And at that tech startup, we were at the time at the cutting edge of mass mobile data. So using cell phone data to understand how people are moving through malls, and how their interaction with malls is changing as e-commerce grew. And so That data at the time, which was very new and novel and bizarre for a lot of people, is now today commonplace standard. You know, you need mass mobile data to understand your shoppers. So from there, hopped over to CBRE in this role, which was newly created and really part of, I think, the company's investment and belief in retail. So they created a role where they wanted someone who could come in and be a thought leader and work with our brokers, our colleagues, our advisors, but then also our clients to understand and forecast the future of retail.
So you talk about mass mobile data. That's a product that we sell all the time. Give us a real-world example of how somebody would use mass mobile data to make decisions.
Absolutely. I think my favorite example is trade areas. That sounds really boring. But back in the day, you're a mall owner, you're a shopping center owner, and you want to understand who your customers are. You draw three rings around the center on a map, and you say, you know, 1 mile, 3 mile, 5 mile, and you say, this is my primary, my secondary, my tertiary area. Here are my customers. And you use that to get in retailers, to understand how you're doing, et cetera. That is the old school way of doing it. And today, you can use the mass mobile data to understand actually exactly who is coming to the center. Not guessing based on rings that you draw on a map, but really understanding based on cell phone signals and movement, where your customers are coming from. Where are you missing customers? What are their demographics? What are their psychographic profiles? So there's a lot more information. It's a lot more accurate about who our customers are that we get from the mass mobile data.
Wow, that sounds really invasive. So are people really tracking where I'm going? How do we get comfortable with what appears to be a violation of privacy?
Yes and no. So it's fascinating because people immediately think, oh, privacy issues. The amount of information that we willingly and sometimes unknowingly give up on the internet just in using search engines or having an email account is incredible. And so we're in this information age where we're giving over information about our behaviors and our shopping, and we get something out of it. You get tailored ads, you get tailored offers, things like that. What's interesting about the mass mobile data is the privacy measures are very much in place. So the data can measure my cell phone. So it may say, okay, this cell phone was here, here, and here today, but it doesn't know my cell phone number, it doesn't know my name, it doesn't know my gender, but it will make assumptions about me based on my behavior. So there's a layer of privacy that's built in, but I think generally in this information age, almost all of our information is sort of out there, and but can also be used for good.
So one of the goals of The Edge is really to help the listeners think about opportunities in the business world. So can you talk a little bit about mentors, people who have influenced who you are, and what is your professional philosophy?
Absolutely. I've had some great mentors along the way, and I think one of my first and most longstanding mentor was when I worked in a startup, and she was my boss, to call it that, and she was brilliant. She is brilliant, and she had this background in strategy consulting. That's what really formed a lot of the way that I think and approach questions, challenges, et cetera. But the thing that she taught me, which sticks with me to this day and I hope will always stick with me, is to ask questions. So I think a lot of times we can be nervous or scared to ask questions because we think we're supposed to know everything or we think it may come across as stupid. But she taught me that asking questions is probably the smartest thing you can do. And asking questions is how you learn. Asking questions is how you become an expert. So that's my sort of professional mantra that's come from her is asking questions and never being afraid to say, I want to understand this better.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. When I was actually starting in the business world, I was in a bank training program, and there were 25 of us, and we were competitively ranked, and one of the ranking criteria was actually the quality of the questions that we asked. So we would have all types of mock presentations, companies coming in, and it was a big ranking tool. So I agree that's an important takeaway. So your expertise is retail, although clearly you're brilliant to know a lot about a lot of different things. Tell us a little bit about your thinking. You know, what are the hot topics today in retail, the big trends?
Well, there's so many in retail. I could go on and on. I think the number one thing everyone's asking about in retail is e-commerce, right? It's this idea of the apocalypse, as I call it, around e-commerce is just going to take over brick and mortar. And a lot of the headlines sort of support that thinking, but there's this myth in the industry that brick and mortar is on its way out, dying. And that's my favorite one to talk about because it's just not true. And what's happening is a really big evolution in how retailers are retailing, how we are shopping as consumers. And it's not about e-commerce taking over brick and mortar. It's really about brick and mortar evolving to meet new styles and modes of shopping.
You know, those are great things and, you know, to talk about. And if you could join us for one more segment after this, I'd really hope that we could go into maybe more about the impact that that all these trends have on the consumer as well as the real estate practitioner. Can you stick with us and do one more segment?
I sure can.
All right. Well, listen, Wanda, take it away. We'll be right back with more from the CBRE thought leaders on the CBRE Edge back after this. Hey, everybody, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar up in Gainesville. They've got Audi down in Key West. They've got them all. And this Saturday, they're having the third anniversary Supercar Saturday. Wanda and I will be out there. Come meet us at the corner of Griffith Road and I-75 between 10 and 1 p.m. So we'll be out there. It'll be a great time. That's right. What do all the cars have in common? Well, they're all great cars. They all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry.
Jim Fried and Wanda Miles.
Welcome back to the Masters on CBS. Some will land in a bunker, which others call the sand trap, while others call it the kitty litter, sandbox, being at the beach, landing on the moon. We just call it the Masters.
On 880, The Biz.
All right. Hey, if you need real estate capital, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Creative Solutions, I got them. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. When you call me, one person answers the phone. That person makes a commitment. We can close in a week. That's right. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, we're back, and we're back with my good friend, Senior Managing Director of CBRE in South Florida, Arden Carson. We're here with the CBRE Edge. We always like to bring some of CBRE's most valuable executives, and today we have one of the best. We have Melina Cordero. She's CBRE's Commercial Global Head of Retail Research. She's a smart lady. She went to Yale. Won't hold that against her. Arden went to Harvard. Definitely won't hold that against her. It's Gators all the way here. So we're going back now, Melina. You've told us a bunch of the trends that have been going on, but really, what's the impact to today's shopper about the evolution of retail today?
Well, for the shopper, it's huge implications. Our expectations are totally different than they were 5 or 10 years ago. We are high-maintenance shoppers with high expectations around what retailers should be able to give to us, when, how quickly we can get things. So.
Oh, you just described my wife. Honey, you listening to this? You're not alone.
You're not alone. And it's everyone. And it's not just women. It's guys, too, and what we expect.
I'm like it. I'm
exactly.
Read my Amazon box.
There you go. So our expectations have put enormous pressure on retailers and then shopping center owners in turn, right, to cater to us, to cater to what we want. And one of the interesting things is that the barriers to entry in the retail world are much lower than they were before. So anybody, any of us can open up a shop online tomorrow. So as consumers, we have millions of options, millions of choices, and we're looking for retailers to give us the reason why we should stick with them.
So really, it's all about branding then. Arden, I know you got some really good questions.
Retail's one of my favorite topics. So, Melina, is e-commerce taking over the world?
No. No, it's not. It's not even taking over brick and mortar. And I always put the question, and I say, it's usually, I always say, actually, I would argue that brick and mortar is taking over e-commerce. We know that online sales are about 10% of overall retail today, and everyone thinks that that means that brick and mortar is dead. But over 50% of online sales are the online sales of brick and mortar brands. And I think that that proportion is going to grow and grow as brick and mortar brands invest in online and develop the capabilities there. So no, it's not taking over. And I think brick and mortar has the capacity to take over online.
So what are some of the shifts in consumer and spending behavior? Everyone talks about entertainment retail. Is that truly a thing?
Yes and no. I'd say there are two major shifts happening. One is that the categories that we're spending in have shifted. So 10, 15 years ago, it was all about apparel and department stores and shoes. And today, it's about restaurants, grocery, health and beauty, home improvement. We have shifted where we put our money. And two, the second major shift is the price points that we spend in. So I talk a lot about this thing called the barbell effect, which happened since the recession, where we trend away from the mid-range of goods towards the lower end and the higher end. So I use the example of a white t-shirt. We don't really want to go and spend $20 on a white t-shirt anymore when we can go and spend $10 at a TJ Maxx or a Ross or an H&M, or we can go upmarket and go to a more expensive branded high-quality item that we're willing to pay money for. But the days of the $20 t-shirt are sort of over. So those are the two main ways that the way that we're shifting or spending has shifted.
Thank you. So I recently heard a presentation that you made, and you talked about Millennial Ben and Baby Boomer Benjamin. Describe them so our listeners can get a sense of who they are.
Absolutely. So Millennial Ben and Boomer Benjamin are my sort of stereotypes of the two generations. And out in the media, out even amongst friends, we all have these big assumptions about what millennials are like and what baby boomers are like. Baby boomers don't know how to use cell phones, and millennials don't spend any money. And millennials are the worst, according to all the headlines. But it's really not true, and there's so many misconceptions out there. Boomers are spending more than millennials are because they have more. Baby boomers are just as digitally engaged as a lot of the younger cohorts. And millennials are spending money, but they're spending money in different ways. And I think the important distinctions to make between the boomers and the millennials is that they're both very, very important spending groups, very, very important. And retailers need to think about and focus on both, but understand that they spend differently, their behaviors are different, and their life stages are different. And how they spend over the next 10 years is going to shift pretty dramatically.
I wanted to kind of shift the discussion a little bit, since I've got two people here that have broken the proverbial glass ceiling at one of the big national companies. CBRE is the biggest real estate services company in the world, and you two sit on top of some of their very important silos. What are some of the lessons that women in the workplace can take away from your successes? What are some of the... We talked about mentorship being very important, but what are some of the other habits that you've been able to form that allow you to be successful in the business world? We'll start here. We'll start with Arden.
Well, I think Melina talked about asking questions. It's just so important to just keep asking questions and make sure that your voice is heard. Well, a bad question is repeating a question when you've already just heard the answer. So, I think that's the best. Well, no, then absolutely. So there are no bad questions, absolutely. But I just think it's all about just always challenging yourself. That's what I've always done. I've always put myself in situations and continue to evolve within my business career and within the industry. So, Melina, what about you?
Well, I completely agree with everything you said. And I think the thing that I would add to it that I've felt and I've learned in this industry is that it's okay to be different, and actually it's an asset. And, you know, Arden and I are two women in an industry that's been traditionally male-dominated. Oftentimes when I walk into a room, I'm with clients or with colleagues, sometimes I'm the only woman in the room, and sometimes I'm the youngest person in the room. And if you walk in thinking that being different is bad or a disadvantage, you're starting off on the wrong foot. And what I've found, you know, so far definitely at CBRE and certainly with a client base is a big openness to, if you can walk into a room and add value and you can do it differently than other people are receptive, and they're open, and it's a huge advantage. So that's what I've found so far, that my mantra is, it's okay to be different.
Well, that's amazing. That's the Gen Z-ing of our society happening right there, being transparent and honest. That's so amazing and so wonderful. We only have a couple of minutes left. I want to turn it back to you, Arden, to help us wrap up this Edge segment, unless you want to do more.
Well, we will be doing more, but I know this segment is coming to a conclusion. So a couple of quick questions for you, Melina. You can just give you do a lot of public speaking. You travel all over the globe. Everyone's scared of public speaking. Give us a couple quick tips and so we can let our audience know.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I will never in my mind consider it public speaking. I try and consider everything, every presentation, no matter how big, no matter how small, a conversation. And number one, I think, and I put my hat on, what does my audience want? What are they thinking? What are they worried about? To know your audience. And always treat it like a conversation. The second that you step on a stage, or in my mind, the second you step on a stage or in front of a group and say, I'm gonna perform or I'm gonna present, you lose the engagement with the people that you're trying to speak to. And so I love making eye contact, asking questions, and engaging in that way, that no matter how big the room is or how small, I'm there to have a conversation.
So Arden, we're wrapping up. Why don't you tell our audience just a little bit more about what CBRE offers here in the marketplace before we wrap up? I think it's something important because CBRE continues to evolve. We're here today at your market office here in Brickell Avenue, which is a spectacular place. Tell us a little bit about the difference that you guys offer the professionals on your team.
Well, CBRE is the largest real estate services firm in the world, as we talked about. We're a global company, but here in South Florida, we have something that's very special and very unique. So we pride ourselves on offering local expertise with our global platform. Think about real estate. Anything real estate, CBRE is a service provider. And we can help all of our clients and all of our prospects with anything that's real estate related.